Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
I've got a few hundred dollars burning a hole in my pocket. What would you suggest I spend that on?
Maybe something like combining a hydrogen gas with, what is it that humans can process? Oxygen? Combining those two things together seems like a good idea. It sounds like a combustible situation.
Yeah, so apparently there's a technology out there that can help you unlock energy in a way that regular water cannot.
That is a way to release heat energy, but in all seriousness, we've gotten a lot of questions about hydrogen water. Hydrogen is, of course, a gas, H2 gas, and you can bubble it into gas just like you do with nitrogen or just like you do with carbon dioxide, and there is potential health benefits. So we will discuss that from a high-level view and get into the nitty-gritty with the very few studies that there is as of yet. Welcome back to the Gillette Health Podcast, where we give you tools to develop a balanced approach for health. And welcome to our new studio.
Yeah, we have a new setup here. I'm James O'Hara, nurse practitioner. And of course, we have Kyle Gillette, medical doctor. And today we're going to be talking about, I guess this is a fairly requested topic, hydrogen-rich water or hydrogenated water or hydrogen water. It's called a lot of different things, and there's a lot of claims that are made about this. Personally, I take my water two parts hydrogen, one part oxygen. How do you like your water?
Yeah, I like mine fizzy. That's the funnest to drink. I'm not going to turn down water that's not fizzy whatsoever, but there's just something nice about cracking open a can. You hear some bubbles bubbling to the top and you get to drink it.
It's like magic.
Yeah, it kind of is. But in all seriousness, this is a reasonable clinical question. And from a very high level view, not to spoil the entire podcast, the evidence is not repeatable enough at this point to make a strong recommendation. So most of the human studies are extremely small. We will dig into all of them. And there is theoretical benefits of hydrogen as an antioxidant to decrease inflammatory markers and cytokines. But it's not like we haven't had other promising antioxidants on the market before, resveratrol, that looked extremely promising and after study repeatability didn't look quite as good. Because there are many antioxidants other than hydrogen water and resveratrol.
Yeah, you even see this with the newest sort of medications or things that are trending out there, like the atypical antidepressant protocols, so ketamine therapy, right? Mm-hmm. The initial studies seem to have much higher efficacy than what you see repeated. But I've listed a couple of the claims here that companies selling hydrogen water making devices, I'm not sure there's a term for those, but reduces oxidative stress and inflammation. I'd say that's plausible. Yep. The therapeutic effects seem to be by the hydrogen gas getting into the bloodstream. It's not necessarily that this water is anything except a delivery vehicle for that. Mm-hmm. Next, helps gut health. I don't know that I've came across anything that would suggest it helps gut health. It's interesting that it starts off very scientific. Reduces oxidative stress and inflammation sounds very sciencey.
Yeah.
Helps gut health. That's kind of a hard pivot.
Yeah. Not buying that one. Helps brain function. Somewhat buying that one, but probably not as much. We'll mention its potential property as an anxiolytic, maybe because it's a very light narcotic agent. We know this from diving that nitrogen can cause nitrogen narcosis, and hydrogen or hydroeliox can also potentially cause kind of a narcosis or a calming effect. Because if divers are diving with just helium and oxygen, then they have that the shakes that they get at high pressure. So there's potentially a help there. Probably not at the level of hydrogen that you're diffusing into your brain that you get from hydrogen water.
4 parts per million hydrogen water.
Yeah. And I also wouldn't put too much stock into the increasing energy. Lowering athletic fatigue. I wouldn't phrase it that way. I would say potentially lowering lactate buildup, which could be good or bad depending on what you want.
Yeah. I would say lower perceived effort. But like we'll expand on, that's not necessarily the goal. Improve sleep. I don't think I came across anything to support this.
Not strong enough.
Faster recovery. Plausible, but do you really want faster recovery or something that's going to build towards actual improvement in performance?
Yeah. And a lot of these claims that are promising, at this point, it's difficult to... some of these studies were placebo-controlled. I wouldn't call them well-controlled, but it's difficult to assess, did the individuals in the hydrogen water group know that they're in the hydrogen water group because they have to pop open the can to drink it quickly because hydrogen diffuses very quickly, even faster than nitrogen gas and even faster than carbon dioxide gas. So you probably have less than an hour, if not potentially even just minutes, to drink this hydrogen water after you either pop open the can or make the water with a synthesizer. So the people who are in the non-placebo group probably knew it, and they probably enjoyed that, Pavlov's dog, if you will, of popping the tab.
Yeah, it's not exactly clear. Perfect world, you have one can of water that has hydrogenated water, another can that has regular old filtered, distilled, whatever water. And you have a truly blinded condition. And I was skeptical that the taste wouldn't be different, thinking of, carbonated beverages, obviously you can taste that. But it looks like to the naked eye, you really wouldn't perceive, at least after the, The brewing process.
Infusing process?
Brewing sounds cool.
Okay.
The infusing process for the hydrogen. You really can't perceive those little bubbles that are in there. And several people seem to say that it just tastes like regular old water, and they couldn't perceive any difference.
Yeah.
So it's a better control than if you were trying to use carbonated water. That would be pretty impossible to do.
Yeah.
Although I do know what a non-aerated carbonated water would taste like. This is like when my water filter starts to get old.
Yep.
And I sort of have that acidic taste when I'm drinking the water. I know it's time to change the filter.
Yeah, that's a good thought. Things can definitely go flat, and gases can definitely diffuse out of water, which you would think, well, why not just study hydrogen gas, which has actually been done along with ozone gas. And for that, think about what happened to the Hindenburg, which was supposed to be full of helium, but they filled it with hydrogen instead.
Yeah, and the hydrogen gas therapy, I believe, has been around in published literature anyway longer than hydrogen-rich water has. And this is over in Japan. It looks like a lot of this research has come out.
Yep.
But before we jump into the data, I'll list my favorite claim, scientific claim about hydrogen-rich water. It helps you unlock energy in a way that regular water cannot.
Yeah. The claims are a little bit hard to hear. So I would consider that my least favorite claim. I'm not that stupid that that's your favorite claim.
Yeah. So now I selfishly sort of curated a couple of exercise performance studies. And there's sort of a host of these things looking at inflammation or exercise performance, maybe anxiety, like we'll talk about. But I selected these as a subset because that's really the application that I think most people are asking me about it in.
Yeah.
And that's really the main application that I'm interested in personally.
Certainly. So, most promising.
We have one here that is a cycle ergometer exercise study. And they use this bad boy. I put a photo there of the Aerobike 75XL3.
Yeah. It's no concept to ERG.
I prefer the Echo Bike or an Assault Bike, but This is what they used in the study.
Yep.
I listed the placebo condition here. The first round, all the participants drank only placebo water. So everybody gets a placebo. And then session number two, that's when they split into the intervention versus the placebo group. So half of them got the hydrogen water, mm-hmm. half of them got the placebo water, regular old water, 30 minutes prior to exercise. And these people were not particularly elite athletes. They actually have some VO2 max data, age data, BMI data. So they were normal BMI. They weren't terribly out of shape as far as, you know, body mass goes. What do you think of the baseline characteristics there?
Yeah. Experiment one, VO2 max measured was around 30 for both groups and 37 for both groups. Actually a bit higher in the placebo for the second participant. They did include both males and females, which is good. But I guess this is what you consider your average individual, not someone who's into fitness, certainly not an elite athlete looking for, you know, that extra little niche of an edge past just consistent exercise and good diet and sleep.
Yeah, and these are fairly small individuals, I would say. The weight there being around 60 kilograms, you know, that's 130, 140 pounds, something in that range. So the dose of the hydrogen water, I assume it would scale along with body size, the amount of blood volume someone's going to have.
Yeah. And looking into hydrogen water, interestingly, it looks like it's relatively few bubbles, especially if you compare it to carbonated water or nitrogenated fluids. It looked pretty low. So you'd think there'd be a better way. Like maybe they had these people consume hydrogenated oils, or if they're elite athletes, maybe they had them put hydrogen in with their hyperbaric chamber instead of just oxygen. That sounds safe.
Yeah. Hydrogenated oils. Didn't they ban those?
Surely they're not banned. Don't take my freedoms away, James.
No, I think this is what they found in Lunchables recently. I think they found some of those banned oils. I could be totally mistaken there, but I heard some whisperings about that.
Any plant-based oil.
In any case, looking at the sort of, they did some nice graphics here, you know, change in VO2 max, and it looked like there were some performance improvements in terms of the VO2 max. It's at 1 point, I think. Not a whole lot of change, but the perceived exertion was also a bit lower. So it's not taking anyone from an RPE of 10 down to an RPE of 7. It's much more subtle than that. But there were statistically significant differences there.
Yeah, it's interesting. And I would like to see a larger study repeated with a bit better accounting for potential confounding variables. For example, if they can get both the regular water and the hydrogenated water into a can of liquid death, and then just tell them that they're, you know, comparing the one liquid death in compared to the other liquid death.
Comparing water flavor A to water flavor B, or water flavor A has a secret performance enhancing ingredient in it.
Well, they can't tell them that.
But you don't know which one you're getting.
To make sense.
So there is a placebo effect. Then you would see even the placebo group thinking, oh, I'm getting some creatine or something like that. So they're going to do better. And then how much more does the intervention group actually outperform that placebo?
Yeah. So it's pretty interesting. But yeah, there's definitely a reason why you don't want too much hydrogen. If you have too much hydrogen in your body, or if you go into a hyperbaric chamber where it's high pressure, you put hydrogen in there instead of 100% oxygen, those bubbles will diffuse throughout your body. It can cause a light narcosis, but also you can get the bends as the hydrogen bubbles come out of your body when you go back to normal pressure. So you definitely don't want too much hydrogen, but I just have a hard time thinking that the very low concentration in hydrogen water is going to have this significant of a performance benefit.
Yeah, and the protocols are not really standardized. So looking at study number two here, hydrogen rich water improved ventilatory, perceptual, and lactate responses. We'll talk about whether we think this is an improved lactate response or not. but they did a two-step process. So they did 300 mils 30 minutes prior, and then 300 mils 1 minute prior to the, again, bicycle ergometer study.
Yeah.
So that's a lot of water.
Yeah. I wish that they would say they either measured the parts per million of hydrogen gas that was diffused in the water right before the subjects drank it, or gave some more information about how many minutes in between making the hydrogen water and then having them drink it there was, or how many minutes between popping the can and then drinking it, if that's even possible. Because hydrogen does diffuse easier than things like nitrogen gas or carbon dioxide, because it's much smaller. Smaller bubble of gas is going to diffuse through faster. So same thing with helium gas.
Yeah, and I think this one, I think this is probably legitimate. It would be pretty hard to placebo your way to less lactate production given the same output per kilogram. So again, we don't know exactly how much carbon is, or not carbon, hydrogen is getting into there, into the subjects, but reducing lactic acid by 16% during the 3 watt or 4 watt per kilogram cycling. And I don't have a good read on how intense this is. I did a little bit of Googling, and 4 watts per kilo seems to be considered a good level of power output, like to be able to hold that. Now, these subjects only did it for 8 minutes, so that's probably not extremely intense, but you were able to see sort of a buffering effect with less lactic acid production. I'd be interested to see how this goes out if you're trying to hold that power output longer than just 8 minutes. So what happens at 15 minutes? You know, eventually I think that those two things will, the two groups will meet up in terms of the lactate output.
It'd be nice if Abbott let us use their CLM, their continuous lactate monitor that we know that they have, that they could be using for research studies like this, which runners will use. There's a lot of finger prick lactic measurements that elite cyclists and elite runners use. And of course, there's a Norwegian method where you're trying to kind of train right at that lactic threshold, to where it's not so hard, to where it's, you're going to accumulate unnecessary fatigue, but it's a lot harder than just your easy, overrated zone two training for 99% of individuals. So basically anybody who's not a high level pro athlete in endurance sports. I don't think that worrying about lactate threshold training is like the most important thing. Just consistency, diet, and sleep is most important. And also making sure you don't get metabolic syndrome, making sure that you have enough protein in your diet so you can synthesize your own glutathione, your endogenous glutathione peptide, which is going to have a better antioxidant effect even than hydrogen water. But it is pretty interesting. So I guess you could say it's just a hydrogen water is a drop in the bucket of your antioxidant strategy.
The third study here, this one sort of helped to paint a good picture of where this is helpful and not helpful. So a couple of differences in these study subjects. They were younger, in relatively good shape, VO2 max average 57, body fat percent 13.4%. I don't know if that's in body or DEXA. I actually couldn't get the full text of this paper.
So they're almost as fit as Thomas DeLauer and twice as fat. And you said they were still in good shape?
Yeah. Yeah.
In all seriousness, they are in great shape.
Yeah. But they did a 2.6 mile uphill run. And they, to get a gauge of the pack, your 4 slowest runners did it in 25 minutes. The 4 fastest runners did it in just under 18 minutes. So those fast guys were really booking it. But this is a longer duration of exercise being the point compared to these other two trials.
Yeah. Hold my hydrogen-infused beer. Let me give that a shot.
Yeah. I couldn't find the grade of the hill. Maybe it was just a 1% uphill, and it makes it less impressive, but still a pretty good effort and pretty good athletes. And it seemed like if you're, again, this is really slicing up the data. I don't even know if this meets statistical significance, but if you slice it to the 4 slowest runners, they got about a 3 to 36 second time improvement in their, you know, time trial, this run. The 4 fastest runners, so it looks like one of them had a 10 second improvement, but on average, the other ones added 26 seconds to their race time. So I would be hard pressed to say that it's harming performance, but I don't think that if you are a an elite runner or an elite athlete that it's going to be actually improving performance.
Hmm. Interesting. So you see this clear data where if you're a bad runner, you knock 10 seconds off your time. And if you're a good runner, you add 26 seconds. The data looks pretty clear to me. It's performance harming if you're a good athlete, and it's performance improving if you're not.
So they should just put everyone on this in the Olympics so the races are closer, right? It would bring your four slowest runners up and slow down the four fastest runners in each event.
They could compare it to the wave light technology where it just helps you pace along. Or if you get too far ahead, then you'd have to drink some hydrogen water as a penalty. Or it could be like in the marathon, instead of knocking over the other water cups for the other participants, then they just give the ones out ahead.
They leave hydrogen water for them.
Water.
Yeah. That'd be funny.
Yeah, but in all seriousness, this is sampling error. So that's why you see some ups and some downs. The takeaway from this is this study was probably run by a group of scientists that was not on the payroll of a hydrogen water company. That's my takeaway from this study.
Yeah, it's a fair point. And we sort of went out of order here. We jumped to human studies, but what about preclinical studies? So what do the mice or mouse data tell us?
Anything we want? Or is that a rhetorical question?
Not rhetorical.
There's a lot of very uninteresting mouse studies, including probably the mouse study where they induced diabetes in a mouse, mm-hmm. and then it improved that. But mouses were probably happy about that one, I guess, but not as happy about the one on neuropathic pain where they sliced their sciatic nerve and then measured pain scores and neuropathic pain specifically after treating with hydrogen water. And there was a potential effect. They said maybe it was its anxiolytic effect, maybe it's the antioxidant effect, but it is somewhat interesting. I suppose you could say if you're a human that has also had their sciatic nerve sliced or has painful neuropathy and you've already used evidence-based strategies and talked about risks and benefits, it's probably not going to harm you if you have severe neuropathic pain and you use hydrogen water. It might be relatively expensive, but it's not going to harm you, in my opinion. So it is most interesting for that when you translate the preclinical studies, which are animal studies.
Right. So I think we can rate it neutral to slightly beneficial in people who are not particularly athletic, but completing athletic endeavors. I suppose you could make the case that it would actually be detrimental if you are someone who's trying to train and improve. If you're getting less of that inflammation response from exercise and less lactic acid, then you may actually be having some downsides, some negatives to that if you're adding it into your training. But if your goal is to just make it from, you know, event to event, if you're in a demanding sport, like if you're in the NBA, right, basketball season, and you're already icing and doing all these things to try to recover more quickly and prevent muscle soreness between games, then you know, maybe that does make sense. But I don't think it's going to drive the adaptations to exercise that your average person is looking for.
Yeah, absolutely. So I suppose you could look at it. You don't necessarily want to decrease inflammation. Bodybuilders definitely do not want to decrease inflammation. If you're an NBA player and icing makes things feel good because it's cool to not ice now. Because like even the person who invented rice says, yeah, rice is not great from like an injury healing perspective or like a muscle, if you desire muscle protein synthesis from that perspective, you want that intra and post training inflammation. But again, if like you said, a lot of NBA teams have games that are back to back to back, and unless you're on like the load sharing or whatever they call it to where you can sit and not have to play for your contract, we should have that for podcasts too. But anyway, hydrogen water, I could see it getting in that same vein. Like, you know, maybe it helps with recovery and less lactic buildup, but perhaps similar to icing and ice baths, it's a way to never be big.
Yeah. Have fun staying small, drinking your hydrogen water.
Yeah. That's like, what's your ultimate stack for
blunting adaptations to exercise.
Yeah, blunting adaptations and blunting muscle growth.
Throw some metformin in there.
Metformin, allulose, GLP-1. Although not as much GLP-1, oddly enough. More so metformin and allulose. And then ice baths right after you exercise.
Maybe an ice bath in hydrogen water.
Yes. There's actually a Japanese study, and they infused an entire bathtub with hydrogen water and then put the patients with autoimmune and connective tissue disorders in the bathtub. Their CRP went down, mostly transiently, but also a little bit a week later. And then normal healthy individuals that just took regular baths, they didn't have a huge change.
That methodology is just extremely frustrating.
Yeah. They kind of might as well have not tried to have a control group with a regular bath. It would have been equally as interesting and less frustrating if they just did a case study.
Open label, like nobody is blinded. But if they would have split those up, 5 healthy, get hydrogen, 5 connective tissue, get hydrogen water bath, 5 healthy, get regular bath, 5 connective tissue disorders, get regular bath, split them up that way, then you really have a well-designed trial. Maybe less likely to see the effects they were looking for. But if you really believe in the technology that much, then you'd sort of be inclined to design a study like that that couldn't be sort of shot down or picked apart.
Maybe they just believe in the technology so much that they felt like it would be unethical
to give the patients a placebo.
They didn't want to wait for the FDA to step in and in the trial early because it's going so well.
Plausible.
Yeah. I think that's a pretty good summary of the various studies. There's a lot of other things that maybe we'll talk about in the future. We could talk about nitrogenated water. We could talk about carbon dioxide, altitude sickness. I think we have touched on that before. But hopefully that gives people a good summary of the small amount of evidence that we do have at this time.
Yeah. So don't go out and spend hundreds of dollars on hydrogen water. You're much better off putting that towards your creatine supply.
Yes. Or Shilajit or a broad spectrum polyphenol diet. Yeah. Or supplement, but really
diet. Yeah.
So yeah, fiber. I'd be interested to see what it looked like if they just had people eat more fiber or drink more water, hydrate better. Yep. So that would be interesting as well. But as always, please comment below with your experiences with hydrogen water or hydrogen gas or making your own blimp airship with hydrogen or whatever the case may be.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for watching, and may God bless you with health and happiness.
Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today we discuss technical diagramming with systems architect Maya. Let's go. First question. You've spent 10 hours slogging over a sequence diagram that should have taken 5. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board. And if I'm being honest, Miro would probably cut that time down by half. You know, with its AI tools and ready-to-go templates.
Next, your diagrams become so bulky, it's more complex than the solar system. But all it takes is a few clicks and...
It's Miro. I've used those technical shape packs way too many times, and stuff is just digestible on its infinite online canvas.
Now, the final question. Everyone's brought in, but you have to make all these tasks all the way over in Jira. But wait, it's done. Is it...
Miro. Easy with its two-way Jira sync. Easy to plot dependencies. Everyone always knows what's up.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people creating technical diagrams without workflow glitches. Get your first 3 boards for free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com.